stop.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Yo, yo, welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast long.
Yo, yo, what's up?
Laps.
It's a lot of energy right now.
Joe's ready to go. What's going on, Joe?
This was the most exciting Monaco Grand Prix we've had ever.
Bar wasn't high.
Yeah, not really. And it also wasn't even that exciting. No. It was better than last year. True. I'll take that, right? True. And I think that's more than enough to be excited for. Smelty, I'm here. You're here.
Yes, you're here, Joe. You guys remember did you guys watch SpongeBob growing up?
No. I watched so much SpongeBob growing up.
I'm a loser.
You did not?
No, I didn't like SpongeBob.
Joe, do you know the episode? Well, there was multiple of where they were like, floor it? That's what you just did. He came in here flooring it. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I'm here too. Yeah, that's cool. Mike.
Hello. I made it again. I'm still here.
He beat the system today. Your system was going to mess you up at work. The system.
Not even the system can hold me down.
Not even the...
It's true.
System of a down? What? No. I don't know.
System hold me down?
What's going on? I was going to come off that, and then... Wait a minute. Never mind. We need to move on.
We got Kevin, though. Shout out, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. My
boy's here.
Woo! Okay, Florin.
There
it is. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, let's bleep out everything I just said right there. That'd be awesome. Anyway, let's head into the Monaco GP recap. Okay, yes. Pre-race banter, like it says here in our thing. Sprint quali practice, yada yada. Joe, FP.
What happened, guys?
Quali.
Yeah.
Impeding. We got crashes. There's penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Impeding is a common theme at Monaco.
It was like
whether it's practice quali or the GP, one could argue like a certain team that has four cars on the grid. I mean, only two cars on the grid.
I will say, I want to talk to that because that's, I was thinking about it, and we actually didn't see it happen this weekend, which is nice, but still thought I would mention something just in case I want to go off on a tangent. But yeah, lots of impeding and everyone complaining about it. Mm-hmm. A couple of penalties for it. Charles actually crashed into Stroll because Stroll cut into him. He probably didn't think he was on a fast lap or didn't seem coming or something. I don't know. But he got a grid place penalty for it. Hamilton hit the swimming pool really hard and went flying up at one point. Hadjar had clipped the wall. Completely lost his left tire, brought out the red flag. Oscar crashed at turn one. Mm-hmm. During free practice. It was a very clean crash. Nothing broke, it seemed like. It just kind of like went into the barriers a little bit. And then Behrman with a 10-second grid place penalty for speeding under red flag.
It's brutal.
Or overtaking under red flag.
Overtaking, yeah.
Basics, obviously.
Oh, yeah, and then Lewis crashing in FP3 as well.
That happened.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard about the about the 10 place grid penalty for Oliver. I was like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's like, we're done.
It's so over.
It's so over. I was like, that's his race.
Yeah, at least you have a little bit more to look forward to. I mean, at least Ocon was having a good day.
He did.
Good weekend, actually.
Good weekend. So. Ocon is actually really good at Monaco.
He's starting to get more consistent.
I beg your unbelievable pardon.
He is. He has a podium.
Last year, Ocon was not good at Monaco.
Okay, fair. He had a bad race. What's your point?
He had a lot of bad races last year. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Coming out of
Jeez.
The
gate. Coming in.
I'm sorry.
What? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I just disagree. I'm just saying, like, look through his statistics. He's very typically in the points. He tends to race well. He tends to outdrive his car in Monaco.
Yeah. It helps when he has teammate that's not as competitive as him, or I guess Behrman's competitive, just not as fast as him at the moment.
You know what's funny? He said that when his last teammate was Pierre Gasly. You're just gonna let him slander your driver like that?
No, I'm saying Pierre Gasly was competitive. Behrman isn't as competitive as Pierre Gasly right now.
I mean, that's fair.
I didn't mean Behrman to catch strays because I like Behrman more than I like. Yeah. I think I should just stop talking.
I think so.
So
yeah. Sometimes you gotta put the shovel down.
Yeah. Honestly, I just want to stop digging. Qualifying. Should we just get it out of the way? What happened to Mercedes this weekend? I mean, Russell's car just broke, and Antonelli just wasn't there, unfortunately.
Well, there was moments, at least in the GP, not to dip into that a little bit, but there was moments where Mercedes looked okay, and it was mostly after he blew the corner past Albon.
Yeah.
And then he looked okay after that, but like, it's not like the car looked that bad. I don't know. It definitely couldn't handle the dirty air in the race until he got past Albon. Right. But I don't know. Bad weekend.
I heard people talking about the fact that Mercedes brought in an upgrade package, not to Monaco, but to... Why am I blanking on what came before that?
Imola?
Imola, yeah. They brought an upgrade package to Imola, and it just hasn't been working.
Yep.
So that could be a large portion of it, too. They tried to upgrade their car, and they accidentally nerfed it. So,
well, and Monaco's going to exemplify anything that's not working.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's not a good look for Mercedes heading into a quicker track, you know, with some high speed corners. But we'll see. Anyway. I mean, I don't have anything to say at all, really, about FP or quali. Even though that's kind of the main thing at Monaco, but I mean, this whole weekend in general, kind of disappointing. You hear the drivers talk about it after the race too, how kind of disappointed they are in the racing in it. Of course, George is going to spout off, but because he had a bad weekend all around, but maybe with the smaller cars. You know?
Yeah, actually, let's hold talking because I do have something I want to bring up later that really dive into it.
Okay.
So let's get into the Grand Prix.
Yeah, let's just get
into it. Starting and finishing, I did make just a little, like, I guess, like, color coding a little bit just to show, like, the movement in the top 10. Only movement is Alonso's gone from top 10. Hadjar did
most
lose a place.
Most unlucky driver of the season.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
At this point, for sure.
Hadjar did lose a place to Hamilton. But besides that, Sainz promoted into the top 10 and everyone else is the same. So really no other movement. And I think Hadjar was overtaken off of a pit stop and not like on track. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I mean, let's just start it off with McLaren, Norris getting P1, Piastri P3. Leclerc trying to wiggle his way in there, just couldn't get enough of it. But interesting that Norris getting P1, because now that pulls him within how many of the standings? I was just about to pull it up. It's not that many.
No, definitely not that many. So
it kind of makes WGC a little bit more interesting.
Points, right?
I think
it,
you're right.
It is 3 points.
I thought it was 3 points. Yeah, that feels
then
right.
Max is what, another
Max
like 20?
Max is 22 points away from Norris, which is still, like, Norris could have a bad race. And
the
Max
McLarens could crash into each other.
Yep.
Do you also take a look at what Constructors looks like right now?
Yeah, I can. Constructors... which is going to be pretty similar, I would say. McLaren's obviously going to be still
leading
a bit.
McLaren is dominating.
Yeah, 3.19 for McLaren. This is good.
Yeah.
Very, very close to second, third, and fourth.
Yep.
All within 5 points of each other.
Yep.
Mercedes at 147, Red Bull at 143, and Ferrari at 142.
Yep.
All incredibly close. So I think... We're still like what, 9 races in, so still a lot of still more than half of the season to go.
Yeah,
McLaren's probably got first locked up, but the fight for second,
probably, but
yeah,
might go the rest of the season.
Granted, I think Leclerc is just I want to talk about McLaren, but just really quick, Leclerc's a monster on this track. It's his home track, and he really showed it. This is the first
quality
time I really felt like
him.
Yeah, I really felt like the Ferrari was like in a league of its own almost.
Yeah,
and the fact that Norris. Got that fastest lap was just because he didn't do anything wrong. He just pushed it to the limit, and it was the faster car. I think Leclerc was the fastest driver, however, just plain and simple.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm hoping if Ferrari can keep that momentum going, it should be a pretty fun race between them and Mercedes and Max, I guess. Yeah.
Well, let's just touch on Ferrari real quick since we've already started talking about him. Yeah, Leclerc obviously winning here last year and just, yeah, I mean, almost pure domination throughout the weekend. Quali for sure looked incredibly fast. But you say here, miserable race for Hamilton. Are you just talking about, like...
His words, I think. Yeah, okay. I honestly, not a bad... I mean,
it's really not.
Good points
it's really
for Hamilton.
Not.
I obviously, you want to be higher up, right? But, like, he made positions, which is more than you can ask for from Monaco.
Okay. What was the... real quick, hold on, keep talking. I'm sorry.
Made positions.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good. More than you can ask for Monaco. But I think it's just still not where he wants to be, obviously. And I think strategy, even though it wasn't bad for Ferrari, I think it probably could have been better in some areas. He did end the race a good almost minute away from the top three. So
when did Hamilton make his second pit stop?
Hamilton.
You know? I know that's literally putting you on the spot. I have no idea.
Ooh.
I'm just curious because...
I wonder if I wrote it down.
And Max still finished another 30 seconds in front of Hamilton, but I'm just curious, like, Hamilton, at what point this season, if Ferrari starts gaining traction, at what point this season does Hamilton have to be beating Max Verstappen in a race?
You know, I mean, that's a great question. And it's interesting, Hamilton, he had probably the freshest tires near the end of the race. So he pitted fairly late, obviously not as late as Verstappen, but he was not catching that top field.
Although,
and I remember, like, I was watching with someone and he just kept questioning. He's like, why is he not catching them? He's falling behind further and further and he has no one in front of him. I think we kind of figured it's like maybe he was going through a lot of back markers and that obviously slows him down. Mm-hmm. But also maybe he was trying to keep it safer and just didn't want to like ruin the position he had or maybe he was facing P5, some kind of weird issue. Who knows? It's still not completely you know, known, but I think he did pit fairly late relative to everyone else and he had fresher tires. It just didn't really use them near the end,
right?
Something to look out for, especially heading into Barcelona, right? That's where we're going next.
Definitely something to look out for. Leclerc, though, I think, like I said, I think he was probably the fastest driver, and it's good to see that. Obviously, he was very close to winning his home Grand Prix two times in a row. He proved that last year was not a fluke. He deserved it, and that the years beforehand were just a weird curse, and now it's broken, which is nice.
Thank God. Right. Yeah. Thank God.
Honestly, I wouldn't have been disappointed had he won.
Oh, me either.
I wouldn't have been either.
Me either. I'm still happy that Verstappen got it. I was not expecting him up there just because of the Ferrari's pace. I didn't expect him to just have that dominance at his home.
Yeah.
And then I guess we've seen that before. We've seen him qualify really well at Monaco even before last year
and just get
caught out by something bad happening.
Yep.
So should have known. I think Ferrari's strategy, I know you were kind of banking on that messing with them.
That was my entire
I think Ferrari's strategy is getting better, you know, over the years, so still not, you know,
hit or miss. We've seen some pretty bad strategy this year.
And where did you say Ferrari's in constructors?
They are fourth still, but they're only a point away from Red Bull.
Right.
So we still could get our predictions of McLaren, Ferrari 1-2 and constructors.
That would actually blow my mind because we were pretty much writing Ferrari off as not.
Yep.
Not even gonna sniff P2.
Yeah.
Talking about Mercedes might actually take it, but that the Max Bulls, as we call them, we're going to pretty much run away with P2 at some point, and that just hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Yeah. Even last week, we were spouting off about
that. Right. I know. Yeah. Just spouting off.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is I ran into this guy in the Target parking lot. Sorry. I shot
no,
the Target.
No, you're good.
And he had a Cadillac ATS-V. And I was like, cool. Oh, whoa, an ATS. Like, you usually don't see ATS. Okay, he had a Red Bull hat. We start talking. Tell him about the podcast. I was like, to be fair, we kind of dog on Red Bull a little bit. He's like, oh, man, oh, I don't think I could listen to that. Oh. I was like, dang it. Here I am trying to sell our podcast to people. And then tell him why not to listen to it.
Yeah, right.
I think it's more reason to listen to it.
See, like, yes, you can get, yeah, right. See what the experts around, like, by all around means, these parts
tell us,
are saying.
Tell us that we're wrong.
I'd almost like to have a Red Bull fan on the pod.
I would love
because
to
I think
have
it would bring
true,
really fun perspective.
A true,
you know?
Red Bull fan on the pod would be outstanding.
Really fun banter, too. Like, some interesting banter.
Especially with people like me. Yeah. Notable Red Bull hater.
Can we safely watch an F1 race in person together? Like, are you guys safe together to watch a race in the same room together?
I don't know.
Yeah, you guys.
Most of our views are pretty aligned, I would say.
Interesting vibes. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right,
I would say, like, maybe one or two I don't agree
now
with.
Now, you and me might have some problems.
Why?
Alpine.
Why would we have it? Well...
No, it's okay.
Listen, Alpine's in the league of their own in a bad way.
Truly in a league of their own. So we're just like, you doing good over there? You've been real quiet.
No. Let's talk about Red Bull first.
Let's do it.
So, scapegoat. Verstappen. Hey, Verstappen, P4. Actually not that bad of a strategy, to be honest with you.
No.
I don't hate it. I mean, you're playing essentially for that flag.
Yeah.
To try to just kind of get the default win.
I mean, it was his only strategy. Which, there was nothing else he could do.
I mean, it's still very possible. You can see that flag. Colapinto was still racing, so.
That's true.
This guy. Oh, my God. We might have problems at some point. I think we're okay right now. But
we might have to throw hands.
People keep flapping gums. So Mags, not bad strategy. Like you said, kind of only thing he could do. Yuki, arguably... Bad, kicking rocks here. Bad start to his race. Somebody messed him up a little bit, but could never really rebound, in my opinion. Just couldn't find any pace.
I mean, stuck in that huge DRS train, and then I think he also got caught out by just a bad pit stop strategy, and so he just ended up further back. Because he was pretty close to 10th at one point, wasn't he?
I think so. Something.
He ended up in 17th, so
he's in 13th at the moment. This is lap 59. At the moment.
And
there's Gasly doing his thing.
Golly. I wonder if he might not have had a pit stop yet then.
Yeah.
But anyway, Yuki, Red Bull, happy to get out of Monaco probably and move on.
Yep.
So, let's see.
Can I just actually really quick?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm go for it. I'm just kidding.
We just want to touch on McLaren really quick.
Joe Show.
I actually thought it was a pretty shaky kind of race for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Lando had a really bad start and was very lucky to keep his place. He locked up really hard. He had like a fairly flawless race after that. It's not hard to when you're in first for most of the time.
Yeah.
But very
I get what
shaky
you're saying,
start.
And it, like fairly being fairly flawless race, your own words, like, and it still felt.
Yeah,
shaky is a good way to put it. Yeah,
flawless and only
you
in
said
that,
start,
like,
but
there was nothing you could. There's not like unless you just run it into a wall, and like I mean the McLaren
Gabriel?
Was the fastest car, so no one's going to really catch you per se unless you're getting pushed back. But he defended off Leclerc pretty well, and then Piastri. I mean, there were so many clips of him like. Drifting through turn one and hitting the wall a little bit, like he was.
Oscar said himself that he felt like this was his worst weekend in Monaco ever.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't think I've ever struggled this much in Monaco, and that's on me.
Yeah, and he podiumed.
And he's
while struggling.
Yeah, wow, my worst weekend. Gosh, that's so terrible.
P3,
dang it.
I think it was nice seeing him though, because like obviously if you're human in that. But also, if you're like in a McLaren or in a car that's good and you're getting third, sometimes you're still disappointed, right? Because your car could have done better. He was like, nah, all things considered, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, right. And he wasn't, he was being very humble about it. So, like that guy.
That guy. Another guy that we're liking. Racing Bulls. Hadjar.
Yeah. Hadjar.
Dude's a beast.
Yeah, you were just saying before we started, he's... really good.
Yeah, he's really good. I remember hearing about him like halfway through the season last season. Like there was a lot of rumbles about this new up and comer Isaac Hadjar and how, you know, he's gonna be the one to take Danny Ric's seat and stuff like that. And I'm just like, whatever. He's just some schmuck who's gonna come in and Nick DeVries his way to victory, except he'll be gone in a year. Like, I don't care about Isaac Hadjar. And then I watch him in the first race, and he crashes, and I'm like, see, this guy is not that great. And then I see him, like, crying, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's not a terrible guy. And then the rest of the season, it's just been constant. Like, he's said, I have something to prove, and I'm going to prove it. So,
I was going to make a quick argument for DeVries for some reason.
Oh, no, go for
and then
it.
I calm forgot down, what series he's racing in. Is
he's,
it E?
He's in E right now.
E?
Yeah. He's been all over the place.
Yeah.
I think he's been.
And I think he's
been
struggling in E, isn't he?
This in Monaco, he actually had a really good race.
I was just about to say, he actually had a good day. And it, okay, we'll touch on the E stuff. And when we talk about the car, which is after we're done with this, probably the teams, right? Thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, quick thoughts from the boys. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, no, I see that, and I even read that beforehand.
No problem. Are we still talking about Racing Bulls? Did you have another point?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's great to see Lawson getting his first points too, like you stated here.
I did not think
it was actually going to happen for a minute.
I'm sure he was,
but he really played the team game.
He did. I'm sure he was. Yeah. I mean,
which is annoying.
He qualified.
And we'll touch on that.
He qualified well, and I'm sure he was like, "Thank God." Like, I'm almost not quite guaranteed, but you know, best chance you can get for points at that point. Yeah, and then Hadjar, we just got to keep watching him. I want to just bring this up really quick. I don't think we should spend a ton of time on it. Hadjar. I mean, both Racing Bulls beat out Yuki this weekend. Mm-hmm. Do we see a world in which Red Bull swaps Hadjar in for Yuki this year?
No.
There's going
question
to,
for you.
There's going to be a team this season that swaps for a third driver in a seat.
It's not going to be. You don't think it's going to be Racing Bulls or Red Bull?
It's them or Alpine.
Okay.
I mean, it could be.
I think Alpine's closer to doing it.
Red Bull, but I don't. I think Isaac going into a Red Bull seat. It's more likely that Colapinto would be out in some. I can't remember the other schmuck that they might put in there.
John Allen.
No,
I
don't remember his name. It was that one guy's name. I couldn't.
I know
say.
What you're
it was something.
About.
I thought it was something Allen.
Something.
It's their reserve driver.
Yep.
But anyway,
I'm inclined to agree with you both. I think. Hopefully, at this point, Red Bull's like, it's not a driver issue, it's a car issue. Mm-hmm. Any person we put in this car is going to suffer to begin with, so just give Yuki as much time as he needs.
And at some point, you need continuity.
Yeah.
You know, at some point.
So my next question is, Hadjar, next year, if Yuki cannot perform?
Maybe. I don't think he starts. So I know, like, Max has actually come out and has basically, like, vocally said, like, in interviews and whatnot, saying... the problem isn't the other driver. The problem is the car. We need to fix the car. And Max has been pretty strict, especially this season, on Red Bull, basically saying, quit swapping the drivers. You're not helping. And I don't like the fact that I keep on having new teammates. I don't like the fact that I've had 4 teammates in the last 6 months. Stop it. And so...
Well, maybe you shouldn't be so good.
And so that's a good point.
Easy.
And so Red Bull is
Max,
like...
this is your fault.
Red Bull is like, oh, if Max says it, we have to do it. So I think we'll see Yuki stick around because Red Bull's biggest concern is keeping Max happy. And Max is basically like, just leave Yuki.
I want to hear your point, but I want to touch on something you just said.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear my point now? I thought you were going to touch on what he said right now. Oh, my bad.
No.
Dead airspace. Darn, what was I going to say? I just think for the start 26, right? I think you would want a veteran driver in the seat.
Yeah.
Whether that's Yuki or who else would there be? I mean,
it's got to be Yuki, right?
So that's who I'd like to see if I'm a Red Bull fan start in 2026, no matter what happens the rest of the season. Unless dude can't finish in points. More than 50% of the races left, that would be a concern.
At that point,
now maybe I'd take a chance on Isaac if that's who does better, or does Lawson redeem himself now? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Hadjar definitely has more pace. But if Lawson's going to play the team game and still play the political part of it, he can slot his name back in there. Look, why not? I don't think Red Bull's necessarily a team to like going back to somebody they've already kicked out. Pierre Gasly never got another chance. Alex Albon never got another chance.
Carlos Sainz. Carlos never went to Red Bull. He just never had the chance to begin with.
That's what we wanted to see.
I would like to see that.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
I was like, where is he going?
No, nowhere. Anyway, what was your point that you were going to play?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is more of like a question. I just want to get reactions. Max is like, I don't want to race F1 anymore. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to be a dad maybe for a year, and then mm-hmm. I'm going to go race something else, you know, get a discipline. Does Red Bull just crumble?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, how interesting is that? Because you mentioned, like, oh, Max said this, so we should appease to him. Honestly, how much is them as a whole team is, like, leaning on Max? Because, obviously, they're getting all of his points. They're getting all of their points from him.
Yep.
So, like, how much of, like, an anchor is he to the team right now?
70% or better.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that, like, it's not a thought that I think I've had oh, my God. Max leaves. This is the first year that thought Max leaves. Red Bull's not a competing team anymore.
I'm trying to think of realistic drivers they could go try and buy, right?
Yeah.
Like, realistically, drivers that would leave their current team to go to a Red Bull car that's not necessarily awesome right now. I'm trying to think of realistic drivers. If you say Mick Schumacher, I'm going to lose my mind. No. Okay.
I have something crazier to say.
Okay, but I just like drivers that they could buy off their current teams in a way, you know, or make a deal like Pierre Gasly, Carlos Sainz. Like, is that worth it to them? I don't think so. Fernando Alonso.
They should not be hedging bets and going off someone new. They need to go off someone who knows how to drive the car at least a little bit. So they bring back Checo.
Dude, Checo's coming back to F1, dude. I'm saying, I'm telling you, Checo will be back in an F1 car. Look at Yuki right now.
Max is like, I don't want to race in F1 after this weekend for some reason. They're like, we should probably get Checo back to finish the season.
Oh, 100%. Okay, in that case.
That's kind of like my thought, you know.
So,
because who else would it be?
Right, exactly.
Since we brought this up and you brought up who could be in it and it's a veteran, there's been a bunch of like people who are trying to like draw straws right now and be like, oh my gosh, it's gonna happen. There's been a bunch of like advertisements and stuff of Daniel Ricciardo being like, and it's like something like a pedal to the metal. It's just something generic. It's just something generic for F1. And so people are like, is this maybe the hint that he's coming back? Cadillac, he's going to Cadillac. And I'm just like, no, guys.
I was on that train originally, that it could be him and Checo at Cadillac. But no. I still believe Checo. I think Danny Rick we'd see in an Indy car before we would see in an Agreed. F1 car again.
Yep.
I think he'd do outstanding potentially in any car, but you never know. Don't even know if he has any interest in it.
But that was my tension.
No.
That was my tension. I hate that I'm seeing it. I'm just like, guys, just let the guy rest.
Rather...
I hope he's getting paid.
Me too. And paid well.
I hope he just becomes a farmer.
Yeah.
Farmer. He looks like a farmer.
I don't know.
So, Williams next?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
I think they're next, all right?
I mean...
Yes. Well, technically, Haas is next.
Oh, that's true.
Good point. Haas is next.
Ocon finishing 7th. Haas next, so...
Yeah. Big W for me. Then we scored more points than Williams this weekend.
You did, yeah.
By one point. Yeah, 1 point. So, boy, we're really closing that 30 point gap. But
gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere. We're happy with it. And considering that Ollie had a really tough weekend, we'll take a good finish from Esteban. He, as I established earlier, is pretty good on this track. So
he is pretty good on this track.
I'm pretty satisfied. I don't expect to see the same performance from him next weekend.
Yeah, smashing into Pierre.
No, he got 3 more points. He was not. I thought because if he would have left in 8th, he was in 8th for a while, and so he was only going to get 4. But he got 6 points, so he got 3 more points than the Williams did.
Ooh. So
yeah,
27 point lead.
Yeah,
now.
Not bad. Not bad at all. You know?
So, yeah. All in all, happy. Oliver, it sucked. Just bad weekend. What'll you do? But, you know, it's Monaco.
It's Monaco.
He's a rookie in Monaco. What do you expect?
It's a Catalina wine mixer. Yeah. Joe.
Yeah?
Williams.
Oh.
Williams. Yeah, a resident Williams.
Now it's your turn.
I mean, a resident Williams fan.
Probably some of the most exciting part of the race is just like the strategy. Like I never thought I would ever see, and I mean this is the track to do it. I would never thought I would see someone hold back cars like within 10 laps to the point of an entire pit stop. Like that's crazy. How slow they were going.
I'll touch on that in quick thoughts from the boys.
Oh, yeah. We have to talk about it. But, like, that's, like, that was, like, the strategy, right? Yep. And it was
so annoying.
And like I think I liked seeing it this one time.
Slow.
I like seeing it, and we're gonna talk about this. I like seeing it this one time. I don't think I'd like seeing that on a regular basis. So we'll talk about it.
You're gonna see it on a regular basis.
It was
basis.
Good strategy, them getting their pit stops out of the way by like building that gap. It was like smart of them to do.
Yep.
This is the point I wanted to touch on earlier about like the Racing Bulls and Mac and the Racing Bulls and I almost said Max Bulls because it's always Max Bulls on here. Racing Bulls and Red Bull and then Williams and Mercedes. They were blocking Mercedes, so that's like their sister team, right?
Yeah. I mean, Mercedes had a really bad weekend.
Yeah,
but you mentioned Racing Bulls. I forgot to mention. Just funny to me because the two stops, Hadjar getting pitting within five laps of his first stop blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah.
That was honestly the best. Hey. Yeah, that was the best thing to do, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Just get your pit in as early as possible.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yep. No, we'll get into it later. Okay, let's just get through this here. Mercedes. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, Alpine's in there. Oh, yeah, they're after. What am I talking about? Moving them up. Mercedes. Georgie finishing P11. Antonelli, P18. So you wanted to mention something on the Gabriel Bortoleto and Antonelli thing?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we were going to bring up the fact that, like, you guys had brought up, like Kimi going on the inside and Bortoleto had made a comment saying he, like, pushed you out or pushed him out or whatever. And you guys were, like, scoffing at that earlier or something.
Oh, scoff. Yes.
And I was like, that was such a dumb move from Kimi. Like, full stop, the way that Kimi dive-bombed. He did dive-bomb. We've played Monaco on the game, right? When do you ever overtake in that corner, ever? Like, and my argument to it is the last time a driver tried to overtake in that corner was Pierre and Esteban. Well, and how did that turn out?
Well,
I mean,
that was a tussle.
I mean,
that was different.
Okay. Hear me out. I think it was an amazing move. I think Bortoleto should have pulled away because I think it was his corner, Kimi's corner, at a point.
Boy, it was close though. Bortoleto made a great move to get that position. An amazing move.
What did Kimi do wrong? It was like hard racing, but it was racing, right? Like, what did Kimi do wrong?
So the move that Kimi made is a 50-50 crapshoot because one of two things happens. Either Kimi goes in and makes the corner because he dive bombs and forces Bortoleto to either basically stop because they're at the exact same corner at the exact same time in a super slow corner, and he can't slow down and let them move in together. Basically, Bortoleto would have had to stop or continue trying to go around, which is what he did, but couldn't make the full corner and ran into the wall.
Funny enough, you could literally see him choose to run into the wall. To me, anyway, because he was right there with him, and then it was like either he wrecks Kimi or he hits the wall, and it feels like to me it looked like he chose to hit the wall. And he's like,
and he probably did because if he tried to turn any more, he was going to put his wheel into the wall and break an axle. Meanwhile, Kimi got lucky that he didn't lock up. Because the way he came in, he took that corner way too sharp. He was on the inside of an already incredibly tight line.
Way too much speed than that.
With a lot of speed. And the fact that he didn't lock up was a miracle. Because if he did lock up, he also was going into the wall.
Yeah.
And then Gabby would have had nowhere to go because there's somebody who's literally parked perpendicular in front of him. And then the two would have either crashed into each other or Gabby would have had to go into the wall as well.
It's a great aggressive move, though.
It is a super.
At Monaco, where it's like.
It's a super fun 50-50. Move, but
I'm taking the 50, dog.
It's a super fun move, but it's a super dumb move, and it's super amateurish. I saw that first reaction when I saw it is, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, there's no way you think that this ever is a good idea. Either you ruin your race or you ruin somebody else's race. I'm like, I just don't like that. I don't like that play. I don't like that choice.
Fair enough.
I feel like it's just too risky and is just a rookie mistake. That happened to work out. It's one of those, if it's dumb and it works, is it really dumb? And I think, yes, it is.
You have interesting, you don't have a bad take. I think in general, you're right. It was a very risky move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would ever call it a mistake. I think I would call it very aggressive. I still think Bortoleto could have done things to help his own case. He could have, yes, he would have had to stop a lot. I don't think he would have had to full stop, but he would have had to stop a lot. And to try to get behind Antonelli and probably lose another place or get hit from behind.
Right.
That's fair. Which then begs a question. He should have been defending to begin with then and not just assume everyone was going to line up behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He left a gap, right?
There wasn't much of a gap, though.
But Antonelli didn't hit him. They didn't
touch. That's true. Like, you look at it, though. That was in part because Gabby is, like,
like getting out of the way almost to make sure that he doesn't crash with him. Like,
yeah, I think I need to. I hear your take for sure. I need to take it back to the tape, I think, to see if, like, because now I'm kind of maybe thinking maybe Antonelli, like, if he were to keep on the line, maybe he had to break late. Maybe he did break late and he would have just ran into Bortoletto a little if he didn't take that spot.
Right.
So maybe, and I shouldn't say I refuse to believe it. I don't think it was a mistake. I think it was it was intentional, and it was definitely an aggressive and a risky move because it could have resulted in a crash for both of them.
But, right.
You know, Gabby had to pull out and hit the wall.
And so. The whole reason that Kimi went for the move was because literally two corners earlier, Gabby did something similar, but Gabby took the move because Kimi started braking early, and Gabby saw that and, like, came around the outside, reacted to the braking, came around the outside, and dived him on the inside. And, like, that was a situation where I'm like, okay, that makes sense, because Gabby saw the very clear line open up and saw the gap there. And so it was a very clean and easy overtake. They came nowhere close to bumping each other, just Kimi left the door open. And at that point, Kimi started charging on Gabby really hard and dive bombed him on the inside, and Gabby had to avoid Kimi to not crash, and then wound up putting himself in the wall anyways. So
I don't know. I think that there was a gap that was left open, and then Kimi took it, and was it still lap one at that point?
It was lap one.
It was crazy.
The field is incredibly bunched up. If you're gonna make moves, then's the time, because after lap one, you're not going to be that close.
It is a tough car to make that move.
Everyone's so bunched up. I'm going to go back to the tape. I'm going to go back to the tape before we end the pod, and I'll give my final verdict on it. But as of right now, I'm kind of team Antonelli a little bit. I think Bortoletto probably could have played it differently. I mean, are you really racing drive? You don't go for the gap. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, homie.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, we can move on.
All right. Yeah, moving on. Alpine, I guess. Colapinto finishing P13. Whatever. Cool. I don't know. At least he showed. Whatever, dude. We'll look forward to next week. I'm actually looking forward to next week for Alpine as a whole, as a team. I think both drivers actually have a good opportunity in Barcelona. I think Gasly for points, Colapinto could be flirting with P10, 11, 12, somewhere right in there this week, I think. Anyway, Alpine does better in a little bit quicker track than Monaco. Kicksalver, yeah. We just talked about Gabriel a little bit. Hulkenberg, whatever, had a chance.
Yeah, I don't even remember seeing Hulkenberg at all on the
there
broadcast.
Was one time. They showed him one time, and he was threatening an overtake, and he did not, I don't think.
Right.
Because I think Gabriel had the only overtake.
Stroll had an overtake.
Stroll had an overtake, yeah.
Okay. Didn't he last year, too?
Man, it's crazy.
Was that the year before? I remember Stroll bouncing off the walls in one of the Monacos.
Oh, yes. Sergio was with K-Meg, right? Sergio and K-Meg?
Mm-mm.
What's the K-Meg one I'm thinking of?
Oh, you're talking about the crash?
Yeah,
Monaco. Oh, yeah, that was Checo and K-Meg. Yeah. And then they hit Nico.
Yeah. Let's see. Aston, yeah. Alonso had a pretty good calm. We'll let Joe get to that in a minute. But just a tough year for Alonso as a whole. Probably the unluckiest driver on the grid at this point.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple times where I thought somebody else might be in the running, but no, he's absolutely... It's just sad to see.
This has been his worst start to an F1 series or F1 season ever.
Yep.
So that feels really bad for him.
Not for lack of skill.
Yeah, no.
It's just been a super rough car, super rough year. Joe, calm call-outs.
Yeah, before I get through, just in case you guys have any, did you have any guys anywhere you want to touch on?
Nope.
No.
No? Okay.
On Aston?
Just any at all.
No, on calm call-outs?
Yeah.
No, I have a feeling the one that I was going to have is on here.
Okay.
I'll go for it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, if you want to say it, then I can.
Go for it.
Less for me to say. Okay.
I'll go for it.
FP1, Hamilton hit the curb on the swimming pool and kind of went flying. The commentator said, called it Hamilton Airways, so I thought that was pretty funny.
It's funny.
Lap 18, Alonso was told to push, he responds by yelling, "I can't push now."
He screamed that.
I remember that.
The commentators were acting to it. Like, "Oh, push he is now? Not push, happy about
push
that."
Now? I
or
can't
something.
Push now. Yeah, it was great. Lap 33, Max out of just kind of, I don't know if he was prompted. He just says, "My shifts feel like Monaco Grand Prix 1972.
Another great one.
That was good. Lap 51, Russell. This is right after he decided to cut the track in front of Albon after Albon had been, you know, braking a lot. He says, "I'll take the penalty." Which then, we didn't even talk about that. I guess we'll get to it in a second. But like, that's a huge thing we should talk about.
Because Kimi did it too, but then he gave it back.
Yep. And then, in lap with Hamilton. This was an interesting one too. I just want to pull up the exact quote that he said. So he was given just a slight debrief of the race, like, you know, his engineer said it's a P5. We lost a lot of time in traffic. The rest of you need to investigate. Pick up rubber, please. And then Hamilton said, "Big thank you to the boys, as I said, for fixing the car." He got no response from that. And he said, "It's not been the easiest of weekends, but we live to fight another day. So, yeah," radio silence. And then he follows up with, "Are you upset with me or something?" No response to that either.
That's so funny.
Since then, Vasseur came in and said that he's not upset. Everything's fine. Like, it's all good. But there have been a lot of, like, obviously.
That is weird, though. And they've had some interesting.
Moments. Hamilton's actually not fine right now. Like, things are bad. So who knows? But it's not one I've heard before.
Are you mad at me? Yeah, that's hilarious.
Crazy.
You did put the link in there. That's hilarious. I love when you do that. Yes. All right, quick thoughts from the boys. If this takes up more of the news time, that is fine.
That's fine. A lot of the news is kind of BS anyway, so I'm happy if we skip some of this.
So where were your bullet points for quick thoughts?
Okay. The biggest thing I want to talk about,
thanks for being here. Yep. No problem.
Thank you guys for being here.
For sure.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
The changes made to this Monaco Grand Prix, yay or nay, what you liked, what you didn't like, and then how you would fix Monaco Grand Prix going forward, and then how you think, if because we don't have any say, is it going to be fixed next year? What should they do? Just in general, Monaco Grand Prix, I think, has a problem, right? I don't think it was fixed this year. I think it just illuminated other problems. So I want to just hear your guys' take about what had happened during this race about these new issues, you know, the two-stop strategy, you know, people building gaps, holding people back, the penalties that were given out because of people not following it, and then, you know, your in general take about how we fix Monaco and what you hope to see in the future for Monaco.
You go first.
You want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah, you go first.
I don't know. The whole two-lap thing made it more fun, question mark? Like, it just wasn't, I don't know. It was cool to see different strategies, but kind of along the lines of what you just said a little bit ago, I'm good on it the one time, but I don't think I would get enjoyment out of, the forced two-stop next year.
Sure.
It doesn't solve the overtaking issue.
Nope.
You know? And I think with the smaller cars, That could be a factor. I shared that video with you guys of the Formula E car. That pass was absolutely ridiculous. I think the smaller car will make a difference, but I think it'll make Monaco as a race extremely dangerous. And that's what I'm concerned about, is trying to increase the overtaking at Monaco. Yes, for sure we want to see that. But, man, it makes it a lot more dangerous for the drivers, I think, in my opinion. It's just so tight. But I've seen some things where people are saying along the ocean there's room. You can widen it there and make kind of like a DRS zone or like a spot where, you know, a good passing opportunity.
Yeah.
And you can see, you know, the reconstruction. It's like, it'd be something that I'd rather have that than do more stops. You know, George Russell actually said something, and I'll try to look that up while you say your thing, about a way that they could do it because of the whole impeding traffic thing and trying to, that's now the strategy as well, is trying to prevent other people. You know, it's the fastest to go the slowest kind of, you know what I mean, as a team. And that,
I mean, that
part,
wasn't
and,
that was Williams' entire strategy.
And yeah. I yep. hate that. Like, but the way it's set up, that's what you got to do.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. I don't like that. Like, Formula One is the premier motorsport, arguably in the world, the most premier motorsport in the world. Why are we trying to go slow? You know what I mean? But again, I'm just contradicting myself, right? Because again, if we go faster, smaller cars, oh my gosh, what kind of carnage are we going to end up seeing with possible deaths? You know, now at Monaco, I don't know. Yep, in a nutshell.
I like that take. I think one thing I'll take away from that is...
You're crazy, yeah,
you,
I know.
Is that, like, I think I'm hoping the cars will help. I don't think they're going to make that much of a difference. Nope. I think
they look drastically smaller.
They are, yeah. They're not as, in terms of width, they seem only a tiny bit smaller. But length, yeah,
like length,
not a,
like drastically.
Yeah, so that should
shorter.
Help. That should definitely help a bit. I don't think it's going to fix the issue. I think it's a track that needs to be fixed. I think that's like my major take.
Are you along the? I can't remember the names of them. Are you along the fans of? Messing with the tunnel, the exit of the tunnel.
I think they should, yeah, get rid of that chicane. I think that they should get rid of that chicane and make it another DRS zone and widen it if they can. I guess they'd have
to
build. They'd have to build out into the water.
And I think you could there.
I think that would be...
Because I'm an engineer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they also need like enough. They need enough like room between the water and the track. So there's that too. Marshals and also drowning.
Whatever. Again, more death, speed, water, death.
You know.
Sorry. Jeez.
Another thought I had is like right now, Monaco is like the one track that's like, this is the track where like it unfortunately, actually, I'm about to contradict myself.
Perfect.
Quali is like incredibly important, right? Like that is like the main part of Monaco. Unfortunately, you qualify well, you're gonna do well.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah,
that's what like, George Russell said.
Yeah, he said two qualifying sessions and just take points from that. Yeah,
but I hate that.
I hate it
but
too,
like at the same time,
he's
that's
right.
What we're watching
that's
already.
What we're doing.
So it's like,
yeah, that's a good point.
So, but like in the race itself, it becomes like it's not a test of speed; it's a test of strategy and technicality. If you can ace those two things, you're gonna keep your qualifying position, which is like that's boring for viewing experience.
I mean, no, yes and no, arguably, because strategy is awesome to have a crazy strategy,
yeah,
and
totally
you have
agree.
To beat another team strategy. Totally love it.
Yeah.
On every other track but Monaco, because I don't like the strategy being slow everybody down.
Yeah. I know you've actually pitched some of this stuff to me, so I'd love for you to bring it.
Saw it with Lawson. He did it perfectly, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first off, I didn't like this Monaco Grand Prix because I agree with you. We should not be slowing. The strategy should not be to slow everyone down. That is the antithesis of racing. Like I feel like if you were to go back in time and tell Senna that we're winning races by slowing down, he would slap you across the face and say, "What's wrong with you?" He'd say, "That's not driving. That's not race car driving." And that's just like
you haven't been slapped in the face by Senna.
You have.
Oh, never mind. Long story.
I bet you.
So
we go way
that
back.
That makes sense.
We go way back.
I think that's a big problem. I think we could still do the two-stop strategy. We need to do something about stopping teams stopping teams from impeding and slowing down the track. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how plausible that is. So that's a big problem. So
because
I feel
if you just start throwing out penalties, now you're leaving it up to the stewards, and
exactly.
Nobody wants that.
Then we're looking at Abu Dhabi 2021. So,
the horde.
So yeah, we don't want to do that. So I feel like we can't do too much renovating in Monaco because Monaco doesn't really want to do it. It's just it makes things harder for the people that live there as well. It's just there's a lot of variables that go wrong with it. I know one thing that I did see, which I pitched to you the other day, is I saw a video online. My roommate sent it to me about driving Monaco, but in reverse. What if we drive Monaco in reverse? You drive Monaco in reverse, and now a lot of these slow speed corners become faster speed corners. Things like the tunnel is now a 180 mile per hour straight with a runoff at the end. Because if you think about that corner, there's a runoff on the left side there for no reason. But if it's a straight, now it's a runoff that if you are going to lock up or miss your corner, you can just go into the runoff. And then you can take that corner, which is a high braking corner, which is big for overtaking moments. Because now you can effectively lunge a corner and overtake.
Man.
And now instead of the uphill that we have, in corner or in turn one that takes us uphill. Now that's a downhill heavy braking section that pit exit that we have there. We could take that out, that corner, and open the corner up and make the corner more wide, which makes for more overtaking opportunities. And
God, this is interesting.
You brought up when we talked about it that there are a couple of other corners that are problematic in the track, just like, you know, driving in reverse might be.
I'm just like going through the track in reverse right now because, of course, this is like one of the few I do
that
know.
First turn downhill is that I think a that little could spooky. Be a problem. Yeah,
it's a little spooky
because if you can't brake, you're just going into the wall. I mean, they'd have to bake a runoff, and I just don't know if there's runoff room there.
I don't know. Yeah, so it's
and,
tricky.
And honestly,
but I think
that exit out of that tunnel. Sorry, Kev, you got another one. that exit out of that tunnel is.
Yeah. I think it's.
Can you
I think
do
it's
that
possible.
On the game? Do we know? Can you?
You can't do it in the game. You can in sim racing, and that's what I was
Shh,
hearing.
Don't
is
talk
there like
about modding the game on the mic?
Oh God,
what if EA hears
me.
You?
Gosh. No, EA's not.
They're
going to
ban you from the
game.
That you're.
But if you
want to
know my real secret sauce for making Monaco better.
Ooh, yes, secret sauce.
It's called Go to Portugal instead.
I disagree.
Take us back to Portugal. I love that track. It's so cool.
I disagree.
Just get rid of Monaco.
And the
it's done.
The nerdy part of me is like, there's way too much history in Monaco. Like,
I agree.
We just got to figure it out.
It's such a historic track. It's been around forever.
It's boring.
No one goes there for the race. It's a party, right? Yeah. Like, that's the glitz and glam
that's
of it.
That's another thing
even,
that George
I don't even
said.
Think Monaco has to pay for the race to be there. I think they get paid for the race to
that
be
was,
there.
That was right? disputed. Like, that was a rumor that went around and
I don't, actually, I don't, they, I'm gonna, I don't.
The FIA came out and they're like, they do pay. Now, there's a lot of talk that Monaco pays the least amount out of any track.
I think that's,
And I think that that's accurate, is that they just pay the least amount, but they do still have to pay in.
Yeah, so compared to like 50 million annually, Monaco pays around like 20.
Yeah.
And that's just because of their historic status, right?
Change. Exactly.
I'm sure they're bringing more money in than that.
Oh,
to host
hands
it,
down.
So.
Is that what we had for quick thoughts?
Because
we are running long.
Yeah, we are going a little long.
That's what we have for quick thoughts. Yeah, I just want to talk about the state of Monaco. I agree with both of you. I honestly wish I'd rather we
but
keep
it. You'd like to keep it on the schedule?
No. I understand why.
No.
I understand why it won't go, right?
Right.
Because it's so historic.
But you'd rather you're about to say you'd rather keep Imola
I'd
over...
rather keep Imola over Monaco for sure.
I would
give me Portugal.
I
that's
think,
a tough argument.
I
like
just
Imola
think,
too. That's another historic one.
They need to fix it somehow, right? Because it's just really bad. Hopefully I'm hoping the cars will be enough. I don't think they will be.
I agree.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if we race Monaco 26. We are.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, Kev, let's do a little quick little stroll here through the news. And with the news, Joe's got her first little tidbit.
Yeah, so this was, I think this was already announced before or during China. China, they did have, get over there.
Sorry.
He's good.
China,
good.
They brought stricter rules to their rear wing. And everyone was like, oh, this is going to break McLaren. And it didn't do anything to McLaren, and McLaren's fine. Mm-hmm. Spain, they are going to bring stricter rules for front wings now, which should help ease down on the flexi wings just setup that cars may have. I was looking into an article, and I think Fred Vasseur is like, it's not going to be an immediate change, but in the grand scheme of things, it could probably shake things up a little bit. And then I just thought it was funny. Jos Verstappen came out and was like, yeah, this is exactly what we need to happen because McLaren is too fast. And it's like, okay, whatever.
Get out of here.
So I actually have an article pulled up right here from the F1 website. So
your source. Good job.
Love it.
Good job.
Cite my sources. Yep. This is actually a statement from... Andrea Stella saying the title of it is Rivals Distracted by Tech Saga's quote, good news for McLaren. And it basically just says that McLaren's Andrea Stella says it's good news for his team that Formula One rivals are focused on what he believes are incorrect reasons for why the Papaya Squad is dominating.
That's so awesome.
So basically, yeah, Andrea Stella is basically being like, guys, we don't care if you change our front wing. That's not why we're so good.
Red Bull starts sweating.
Yeah.
Well, they arguably they already are sweating.
Yeah,
yeah, sweating. Straight up.
Thailand looking to enter F1.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think they said earliest that they would expect is 2028, but I don't mind another. I mean, it's so many.
They have to,
they probably have to.
Do they have to
one,
build a track, or do they have one?
I think they probably have to build one.
That'd be cool.
A street race around the Thai capital. Yeah,
that'd be sick.
Wow.
Because that's. That would be actually Albon's home race, right? Because he's Thai.
Albon?
Yeah, because
Albon is Thai. Yeah, is Albon's Thai. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he treats the Singapore Grand Prix as his home race right now.
Right,
but
because
yeah,
it's so close to home for him, but he's not actually from Singapore. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see.
Yes.
He's Thai and British, I think.
Yep.
Half Thai, half British.
Yeah.
Yep.
His dad is English.
I'm just trying to see if there is a is the track that they would look. So they have hosted a MotoGP racing at the Birium circuit since 2018. I don't think they've noted if they're going to make a new one. So they might just
said MotoGP.
Yeah,
I watched some of that this weekend. I forgot how wild.
Yeah,
that
it's
is.
Crazy. Yeah. Island of Man and stuff like that is, yeah, it's insane.
Island of Man.
I think MotoGP can race Formula One tracks, so I think that's a possibility. I'm not 100% sure.
Interesting.
2028 should be more than enough time to. Well, yeah, they're breaking ground on what track? Madrid? Yeah, they're breaking ground. They only just broke ground in Madrid, and they're adding that in what, 2027?
What was that other Saudi
I thought Madrid
race?
Starts next year.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I thought I heard Madrid starts next year.
Oh, okay. But yeah, either way, it's early, right? So, like, you know. What was that?
What was that other Saudi race that we...
Oh, it was the one that we thought might either replace Jeddah or
that's
be in addition
right, that's
to.
Right.
I can't remember
what
the name
called,
is, but
yeah.
Yeah. That
it's,
one
it's
I
got
am,
the
I
knife turn,
think.
They call it, or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right. PepsiCo signing a multi-year deal, massive.
Yeah, we're gonna get Dorito F1. F1. It's gonna be great.
And Gatorade F1.
Love it. Gatorade F1.
And Sting Energy
F1. Sting Energy F1. I've never heard of Sting Energy.
I thought I saw that Gatorade is doing the sprints. Gatorade. It's gonna be the F1 Gatorade sprints or whatever. So, I don't know what they're gonna call them, but
I mean, makes more sense than having Heineken be a sponsor, right? Yeah, they're very good about their 0.0 kind of spot, like, you know.
It's gonna be weird seeing Gatorade everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Sponsors. Yeah, it'll be fine, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll feel like the 90s.
Slow news week.
More money for F1. So.
All right. Cool. Okay, let's go. Let's head right into the Spain preview, Kev.
Okay.
Bark, bark. Oh.
And we...
you caught me mid cluck.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, sorry. I won't let it happen again.
I'm here to bring us up to speed.
I won't let it
for happen. This yeah. year's Formula One Aramco Gran Premio de España 2025. You guys are throwing off my rhythm.
I know, dude. Here. I'm sorry. Start over. Start over.
I'm here to bring you up to speed for this year's Formula One Aramco Gran Premio de España 2025 at the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya.
Jeez.
That was right? Okay, yeah.
Put good. That on a t-shirt.
I actually, the end there was a little bit of flavor for me. That's not part of the race name, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Flavor.
Okay.
Thanks,
guys. Joe seasoning.
Hey, thanks.
Put
guys.
That on your steak and eat it.
A fun fact per usual. fact per usual. Ferrari as a team holds the most wins here, with Alonso and Hamilton tied for the most wins by any one driver. I don't think Alonso's going to keep on.
Says you.
Anyway,
you haven't heard my podium.
last year, our starting grid was our starting two rows was Norris to Verstappen, Hamilton to Russell. Immediately off the line, Lando cuts across the track to try and cover off Max, almost pushing him off track and onto the grass. They stay side by side all the way to the first corner. Lando focuses on taking Max, but doesn't see the Mercedes of George Russell quickly approaching behind, able to take hold of his opportunity, fight between Lando and Verstappen, and drive around both of them through the first corner to take the lead. All the while, Lando loses his spot twice as Max takes the inside line and second place through the same corner.
Such a good start.
Just behind the Ferraris in third row, they take the fight to Hamilton, and both go alongside through the first corner. But Hamilton shows off his veteran status and manages to keep ahead, falling in right behind Lando. Russell is only able to hold onto the first for the next two laps as Max takes his rightful position back at the same first corner. Around the same time, the pair of Ferraris battle through the first corner, getting close enough to rub wheels with each other as Sainz takes the position, falling off track, doing so, but able to keep the position ahead. Lap 16, we watch a nightmare pit stop from George, who locks up on the entrance of the pit lane and is then held in his pit box with issues from the back right tire. Pitting right behind, Leclerc puts in a normal pit stop for Ferrari, a banger compared to Russell's, and they go side by side through the pit lane to the end, Charles only just missing out in the overtake through the pit. Lap 19, Sainz gets into his second kerfuffle as he goes side by side with Hamilton through the first corner, touching wheels again as they make their way through the S's. A little debris coming from the contact, but Hamilton able to make the position stick. Instead of pitting earlier to fend off the likes of Russell, Lando has decided to stay out and go for Max. This did not prove fruitful when on lap 24 he finally does pit and comes out behind not just Max in second, but followed by George, but Hamilton and Sainz as well. A few laps later, Lando gets the fresher tires working, overtaking Sainz for fourth. The other McLaren of Piastri further down the grid finds Perez on lap 28th and overtakes him for ninth position. Still a couple cars ahead that haven't pit. He makes the move on Ocon in the Alpine a few laps later. We see another overtake from Lando into third on lap 32 on Hamilton, getting ever so closer to Russell in second, where he starts fighting him on lap 35. The battle through half of the lap, going side by side through the S's until Lando overtakes before the turn into the hairpin, where Russell takes the inside line and makes his way just slightly back ahead. The fighting continues through the lap, but now with Lando on the inside after the hairpin as he makes the move stick up the hill just before the second DRS zone. The fighting, however, moves Lando further back from his battle with Verstappen and less than half race distance to go. On lap 52, we get to watch a pair of Mercedes duke it out through the first few corners, Hamilton taking the final podium position from his teammate George. 14 laps later, we watch Max Verstappen take the finish line 2 seconds ahead of Norris, 17 seconds ahead of Hamilton in third. Our final 10, Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, Russell, Leclerc, Sainz, Piastri, Perez, Gasly, and Ocon.
What was the final? Top three?
Top three was Verstappen, Norris, and Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton.
Max Verstappen.
Wild wins start. The Grand Prix.
Wild battles early. While you were doing that,
we were watching
the highlights, and it was following along.
It was great.
It was a really good overtake from George right at the start.
Man, I watched it. I'm like, oh, that's so good.
Incredible.
Does he do it again?
Interesting weekend. I got a prediction that doesn't involve any podium points.
Okay.
Both Alpines will be in Q2. No problemo. And Gasly will get into Q1. Colbindo could flirt with it, but it's probably going to be... Or I'm sorry, Q3. No, thank you. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you are... Hey, buddy, what you said was
everyone's
correct.
Everyone's getting in Q1. Yeah. Oh, but Matt, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't leave the
Holy
garage?
Cow.
No, stop. That's not going to happen. But Colbindo could float.
You ready for my counterpoint? Alonso gets his first points this weekend.
You'd hope so.
I mean, why
God,
not?
I hope he, so. Why At not? His he home was, track,
he
too.
He was fast before that... Before the failure.
Yeah. And if his car starts on fire, then, I mean, maybe he just takes the rest of the season off.
Then it's just time to, time to just, like, mail in the season, come back next
year. Skip Drogovic the rest of the season. Just take some time to relax. Come back next year to a new car.
Does Mercedes rebound this week?
Does Mercedes rebound and does George come back? Or does Ferrari... Oh, wait, no. That
I was, Ferrari what I was so about to fast. Say,
does Ferrari keep the momentum and does Sainz get on the... But Sainz is not Ferrari anymore.
Man, but if Sainz was on the podium, it'd be crazy.
I hope Sainz will get points this week. That'd be
smack
sick.
The microphone.
So, predictions?
Predictions. Point check-in. Mike got 1 point.
Yes, sir.
I got 2 points.
Yes, sir.
And Smeltzy with Charles out of nowhere, once again, just like George Russell, slips into the podium with 3 points.
3 points.
Bringing our total, Smeltzy at 21, me at 20, and Mike at 21.
I think Mike should pick first this week.
I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, how did we do this before? So you were leading.
I've picked first so many times this year, so I think it's Mike's turn.
Actually, you were leading.
Yeah. No. He picked first last week?
I have for the last 2 weeks. I've been
you were leading, the last couple and now you both are tied.
Now we're both tied.
So that would mean he's still leading.
I think. Oh yes, I think you're right because he was leading before. That's F1 rules.
That's fair. Yeah, that's F1 that's rules. Fair. Yeah, I'm still the winner.
Sure. We're very close. 1 point.
We're all very close. Yeah, this is crazy.
What did you say? We're 9 races in, and we're. Within one point.
This is better than I was doing last year. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah. Joe and I were in a race for the bottom.
Hell yeah, brother. Okay, so if I'm going first, I believe that in first place, Max Verstappen. I think in second place, I'm going to put Lando Norris. And in third, I'm going to put Oscar Piastri.
Interesting.
It is?
Interesting.
It is interesting, I agree.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, I agree. Smeltzy, I think this is my first time in how long that I didn't put Oscar to win. What, 3 weeks?
Oh, it has
three
been a while.
4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like,
this is your first non-McLaren first place.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, crazy.
You wow. only put Oscar or Lando.
Hey, again, I'm consistent.
I've also only put Oscar and Lando.
Hey, at least I'm consistent.
And he's been all over the board, more or less. But he's mostly put Oscar.
Yeah.
Have I?
You put Oscar, winning? Oscar, Max, George, Max, Lando, yeah, Oscar, yeah. Oscar.
Gosh, yeah. I don't hate you saying Max winning. That's not a bad take there.
You guys are so wrong.
McLaren fanboy over here. No bias out of him, obviously.
I'm not going to say anything until he's done.
Yep.
Oscar.
Okay.
Don't hate that.
Ooh, this is a toughie. Lando George.
I don't hate that.
You're putting George on the podium?
I don't hate that.
Mercedes is going to rebound. I'm banking on it.
Okay. You like putting George on your podium, so.
He does. I mean, he likes putting George or Charles, and it, more often than not, kind of
it's
works.
Like a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I say more often than not, but it's actually not worked a couple times. But no, it's actually more often than not, yeah. This is the same podium that you had when you got your 6 points in race two. So... You know, it's your lucky three, I would say.
Hey, Charles was a tough... Charles and Max, I was really struggling with. I almost went Oscar, Max, George.
Totally.
But it's... That's tough.
Okay. Lando's going to win this week.
Yes, make it interesting. We all have different winners.
He was... he had a really bad start last year.
Yep.
He's in the fastest car.
And last week.
Yep. And he got back to second, and he was catching Max last year. I think he's taking it.
I can see that.
I almost didn't put Oscar on my podium because he didn't do well last year here. I think correct. He has a way faster car now, and I think he's an overall better driver. So he probably will go on my podium somewhere. My third is a little – I'm stuck on where to put my third and if I'm putting it in second or third. I think I will put Oscar in second.
Okay.
I don't want to put Max up there, though, because I don't think Max is going to do well this weekend.
So it's Max, Charles, or George?
It's Charles or George. I don't think I want to put Max.
Hamilton on the
you
podium.
Know what?
I was going to throw him in there just to be fun. But
you know what? I think the idea of each of us having a wild card for the first time this year, Charles will be going up on my put. Oh, I actually hate that. Hold on.
He didn't type it fully. I didn't see it. I only heard the button start.
Man, I feel like I do want Charles to keep the momentum. I just don't think they can.
I can have a comment on Charles once you make your pick.
Once you make your pick?
Yeah.
How can you possibly already have a
point?
I'm
not going to help you make your pick.
Look at the system's cheating him.
I'm losing.
Yeah, good, because I need to be winning.
The system already gave him a point, so now
he's tied. Yeah, it's because I'm matching with the blank. Here, look, I'll do this, so now I'm not matching.
Good. N.
I'm losing. Help me. So here's my thought process. I'm so sorry we're going over time. I'm not even going to say, you know what? YOLO, Charles. I'm putting him in. I spelled his name wrong. Charles. I'm putting him in. He's locked.
Chuck.
I think it could be Charles or George. Yeah, it could even be Max. I just don't think Max is going to get podium this week. I think he's going to go 2 weeks in a row without podium.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
I sound crazy to myself.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Why you're like, Max isn't going to be on the podium. I'm like, for 2 weeks in a row, are you?
I just
not gaining any Red Bull fans.
I just think
he had
car superiority last year. And that's kind of my thought.
McLaren at this point had the faster car. McLaren was at the point where they were the fastest car. And this was where we see that Oscar was still kind of struggling last year. And Lando was struggling with his starts. So the McLaren have the fastest car. And Max still found his way up top.
I actually disagree. I don't think they had the fastest car at this point. I think we're still a few races behind. This is early in the season.
This is after Miami.
Yeah, but Miami they were close to having the fastest car. I don't think they had the fastest car.
I think most
car,
people tend to agree that McLaren took over as the fastest car after Miami.
I don't know. I still see their dominance coming like late season.
Sure. Like post summer break.
Like they may have had that's fair. Maybe it's the fact that Max's car is much worse than it was at this point of the season last year. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the fact that I'm going off of more.
Okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong, though.
Max,
did you have a point about Charles you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I think actually Charles is a good pick. Okay. I think Charles is fast on this track. He has shown speed on this track. And I don't think the Mercedes bounces back. I still think they're going to take time to try and.
Yes.
I think they're going to take time to try and figure out the problem with their car.
Yes. Good. Good. Yeah.
So
I don't think
that means they're going
to
get third.
I don't think Mercedes has to bounce back per se. I just think they had a really bad weekend.
Off. That's what I mean. They were off. So that's why they have to bounce back from that weekend.
Yeah.
And get back on the podium.
George is a better choice than Charles, but I like the idea of us each having a different wild card. So,
and we each have a different winner.
We do.
Yeah. So
we're going to
get a
points
shake up next week.
Lando is truly the only one that I feel actually confident about, and in his place as well.
I do actually. I was tossing up between. I didn't think Oscar was going to win this weekend, but I did. I was tossing up between Lando and Max, and I was like, you know what? Max's first ever win was at this track.
That's true.
You know who
and he's been
Mick Schumacher. No, I'm just kidding.
What are you talking about? I was expecting you to say Carlos Sainz or something.
No.
Mick.
Like that's at least
that be,
kind
wouldn't
of
that be
reasonable.
Cool though?
It would
Carlos,
be amazing.
If Carlos
I would be
or
so
Albon
so
many people would have to crash.
I would be so hype if that happened.
That would be sick.
There'd have to be pure
Carlos. Oh man, but like what if Carlos gets like fourth? That'd be so dope.
I'd still
right?
be so hype.
Yeah.
I love Carlos.
That'd be sick.
All right. Well,
we
you heard
so
it here.
Overtime.
Banner with the boys. We love Carlos. With that, no pod next week.
Nope.
So, Mike, you won't be here next week.
That's true.
Joe, you're not going to be here next week.
Are you going to be here next week?
I'll probably show up on accident.
Cool.
Probably show up on accident. Out of habit. But, Mike, thanks for beating the system and being here today.
I'm here.
Taking
this was
it.
Fun. I love being
he
here.
Took it to the man.
Yeah.
Joe.
Smelty.
For you Spotify listeners, I'm just nodding at Joe. That's all. That's
There's
all
something
he gets.
Unspoken.
Oh,
here,
let me do a hat tip like they do in golf. Boop. There you go. You have to do the noise too. Boop.
Tip, m'lady.
All right. So, with that, obviously, don't forget Kev behind the camera.
Thanks,
and
Kev.
The cameras. Oh, wait, yeah, camera. Oh, computer. Cameras. I meant to say. We're done. Anyway, I'm Smelty. Yep. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to The Banter, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or iHeartRadio. And we will not see you here next week, but we'll be back soon. Peace.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.